Hi, everyone. Hi there. This is WAIF in Cincinnati, and my name is Chris Comer. Rob is sitting out in the hallway, and we're getting ready to start tonight's program. It's 12 o'clock midnight at the bottom of your dial. You can't go no lower than us, the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show on the Mighty Waif. Tonight we're going to talk to, how do I put this, probably one of the best talk show hosts currently working in America, if not the best. His name is Bob Larson. And he, you may not have heard of him because he's Christian. He's conservative. They're all conservative, but he's even more conservative because he believes that the devil is out there doing his little thing and screwing everything up for all of us. We're going to talk to him about that and about the alien agenda. That's right, he believes that the devil is behind UFOs and not ET. So we'll get to the bottom of all this and much more on tonight's edition of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
And it's magic. If the music is groovy, it makes you feel happy like an old time movie. I'll tell you about the magic and the free your soul. But it's like trying to tell a stranger about a rock and roll. If you believe in magic, don't bother to choose if it's junk kind of music or rhythm and blues. Just go and listen. It'll start with a smile. It won't wipe off your face, no matter how.
About you, but I have a feeling that our next guest either does not believe in magic, or if he does, that it's not necessarily a wholesome thing. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
Hello, Bob Larson.
Hi there.
How's it going?
It's just going great. My new book on UFOs is doing fabulously, and I'm getting the opportunity to talk to more strange people than I ever knew existed.
Now, wait a minute. What do you mean by strange?
I'm not talking about you guys. You're definitely not strange. No, this new book of mine, UFOs and the Alien Agenda, has brought all the weirdos out of the woodwork. I'm telling you, I mean, in researching this book, I knew there were a lot of weird people. But there are some really strange ones out there.
What do you mean weird? People who see UFOs?
People who have been abducted, people who are out there with binoculars and stopwatches in the middle of the night, calculating how fast one light goes from one point to another.
Now that's not weird, that's science.
People who are traveling to Area 51 to see if they can get a glimpse of unautopsied alien bodies. I mean, there's strange people out there. They're following black helicopters in the night. They're absolutely convinced the government's up to something.
Well, the government is up to something. They just admitted that all the UFO sites from the 50s and 60s, or at least a good 60 or 70% of them, were indeed experimental aircraft that they were hiding from all the Russian spies that were fronting as UFO researchers.
That's true. I'm well aware of that. I know about that admission, but that's not quite the same as harboring aliens who have, you know, four digits, slit eyes and a bulbous head and green scaly skin, and they've stuck them in a big vat of formaldehyde somewhere.
So you think that people who see flying saucers are cuckoo?
No, I actually think they're seeing something.
What do you think
they are
seeing?
Something. It's just not from another planet.
What are they seeing? Just experimental military aircraft?
Oh, I think they're seeing some of that. But I think there are some people who are having genuine abductee experiences. I mean, they are being taken somewhere by someone and something done to them. And that is why I called my book The Alien Agenda, because I think there's an agenda of these beings.
So you don't think that the aliens visiting Earth and abducting humans are just doing this randomly? You think that the aliens actually have a plan?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the top, excuse me, little cold bronchitis here. The top experts in the field who are looking into this sort of thing all say if there's anything that is consistent about all the abduction accounts, is that these beings have a very orderly, methodical plan in what they're doing to recondition the behavior of humanity.
So what are they trying to do, Bob Larson? What do you mean recondition the behavior of humanity?
They're preparing everybody for the end of time.
The UFOs are preparing us for the end of time?
Does the book of Revelation in the Bible say anything about UFOs or extraterrestrials?
It doesn't say anything directly, but it says a lot about the Antichrist and the sort of conditioned mindset people will have to worship one single world leader. And I think that the periodicity and unpredictability with which these beings are appearing and the spacecraft that they supposedly pilot are appearing and disappearing, this periodicity and unpredictability is creating kind of a national neurosis that's setting people up to believe almost anything.
We're talking to Bob Larson on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. In case you're unfamiliar with Bob's work, he's the host of the Bob Larson Show. It airs locally on 1050 AM. Jot that down, folks. 1050 AM WTSJ Radio, which stands for Terry S. Jacobs, which used to be the guy behind J-Corp, but then he sold it, got into Christian radio, and now WTSJ is up for sale, and I believe Bob just told me off the air that a big Christian conglomerate is coming in to take it over. But neither way, currently he's on 5 o'clock in the afternoon on WTSJ. His new book is called UFOs and the Alien Agenda, subtitled Uncovering the Mystery Behind UFOs and the Paranormal. And in this book, Bob Larson goes on to say that he has concluded that there are four possible explanations for encounters with UFOs, and here's what they are. First, some kind of an alien being is truly abducting people and subjecting them to terrifying experiments. Second, perhaps these people are suffering from hallucinatory visions induced by drugs or chemical or hormonal imbalances. Or perhaps third, that these people are victims of satanic cults who know how to manipulate their victims' dissociative personalities to include a perceived abduction. That's kind of scary right there. And finally, the incident could have been a demonic encounter in which the natural and the supernatural have commingled. Bob Larson, please explain.
Well, I think the latter is what's happening in the majority of these cases. You know, even the late J. Allen Hynek, who was the world's foremost expert before he died, said that he believed that these beings had an understanding of the connection between mind and matter, and that he thought there was something kind of extra-dimensional going on here. Jacques Vallée, who's the current foremost living expert on the subject of UFOs, a guy who had a bit part he didn't play, but somebody else did in the film Close Encounters of the Third Kind, he has come to the conclusion that this is a spiritual phenomenon, that there's something going on here, that these beings aren't coming from out there. They're around here somewhere. They're just stepping in from a parallel dimension.
So do you think the devil is using aliens, or are the aliens actually demons, or is there a relationship between these visiting aliens and the father of all lies?
Yep, I think both is true. I think they are the devil's emissary. I think they are really kind of setting things up for what Christians call the rapture, which is the time when Christians are going to be taken out of this world. And I think this is going to be the explanation. I think, I'm giving away a little bit of the end of the book, but I developed the theory a lot more deeply than that. I think that when all the Christians disappear and the devil's around to turn people over to the Antichrist, there may be an explanation for it. The explanation will be that those kooky Christians, these benevolent beings from beyond, finally got them out of the way so that they would no longer impede the moral progress of humanity.
What do you think the possibility is that our good friend Ralph Reed is really an extraterrestrial? He's kind of goofy looking. He looks you can't stay forever young.
I do think it was a cheap shot to put of all people, Rob Lowe in that Ralph Reed type in the movie Contact. I mean, Rob Lowe as Ralph Reed, give me a break.
You saw the movie Contact, I take it.
Oh, absolutely.
Contact, based on the Carl Sagan book. Unlike the book, Hollywood put a religious versus science sort of theme running through the entire movie. How did you feel about that?
Oh, that was just Hollywood slap in the face of Christianity. I mean,
wait a minute. Hollywood did not prove that Christianity was wrong, nor did it prove that science was anything more superior than anything else. I thought it was actually kind of fair to it.
Oh, come on. Now, the head protagonist for Christianity was a goofball sex fiend, a friend of Bill Clinton's, who takes this astronomer Ellie to bed and then talks to her about God while they're laying there naked.
You're talking about, what's that guy's name?
Who?
The actor that plays him.
McConaughey?
Yeah, McConaughey. He's kind of a hunk. He was dating Sandra Bullock for a while there.
Yeah, but I mean, there he is. They're laying naked in bed, and he's a seminarian talking to them about God. And later on, yeah, he does go up against her, but after she has this mildly hallucinogenic, spiritualistic experience of going to this vegan planet or whatever and comes back, he's the only one who believes her. Well, now, wait a minute. I thought he was supposed to be the Bible man.
In your book, the new book, again, is entitled UFOs and the Alien Agenda, Bob Larson, you go on to say, if it were now proven that life exists on Mars, and what if my faith in God? If life exists on other planets, what if my faith on God? What if life exists in another galaxy? Or what if Project SETI does pick up a signal from outer space? What of my faith in God? Why does there have to be a question of religion when it comes to extraterrestrials? It seems to me that if God is going to create the planet Earth in all its glory, and if God's going to create mankind in his image, if that dude is so powerful, he could do that somewhere else.
No, he couldn't. No, he couldn't, because he's bound by his own laws of moral justice and the things that he set in motion in this cosmos. And to suggest there are beings in other planets destroys the centricity of man as the unique creation of God, the apple of his eye, and the specialness that we have in all of this entire cosmos.
Well, where in the Bible does it say that we are the only...
Yeah, I don't remember the word centricity from the book of Genesis.
Well, what the Bible does say is that when Adam and Eve sinned, the entire cosmos was affected, and that it is earnestly waiting for the final restoration of harmony with God.
Well, from the dudes that wrote that book of Genesis, the entire cosmos really consisted of the Mediterranean area, but to the people today, the cosmos is a lot larger.
Yeah, but when Jesus Christ died, it's clear in the Bible he died for the descendants of Adam and Eve. He didn't die for extraterrestrials. So if the sin of Adam and Eve infected the entire universe, then every other extraterrestrial civilization is in need of redemption, and Jesus Christ would have had to die over and over again and get resurrected over and over again on billions of other planets to save all those souls. I think that's pretty preposterous.
See, Bob, I don't have a problem with God creating the world or God creating mankind in his image and all that other stuff, but I do have a problem with a sort of, it's not certainly not contemporary because it goes back since the beginning of Christianity, but a Christian attitude that to me is not all that Christian, of Christian centricity.
What's wrong with that?
I don't see the world as being the only place in the universe that could harbor life, and I certainly don't see Christians as the only people who see God the right way.
Well, now, wait a minute. Let's suppose that God did create life on other planets. Then they were affected by Adam and Eve's sin, according to the Bible.
Perhaps not. Perhaps that planet has its own Adam and Eve and its own Jesus Christ and its own situation of events that have shaped that civilization and that society.
And those beings are coming down here to contact us. It would seem to me if something as important as extraterrestrial contact were a possibility, somewhere in God's teachings, he would have warned us about it and given us a little bit of information. But when you study, and this is the point I make in my book, UFOs and the Alien Agenda, when you study what these beings are saying to these followers and all of these UFO cults, it's just old-fashioned metaphysical occultism. It's a form of spiritualism. These beings are coming down here and saying the same old claptrap. You are gods. We were like you. Now we're gods. You can someday be like us. We are your saviors. Look to us. What we've got is a new kind of UFO religion.
I thought these were just pretty lights in the skies. I didn't know people were getting wrapped up.
You're making a reference to some of the UFO cults, such as the one in San Diego calling themselves Heaven's Gate, and such as many others that are out there, of people who truly are as weird as you introduced when we started our conversation, and these people really are worshiping something that makes no sense.
Well, I've had several confrontations lately with on my own show with a guy named Rael. Now, he's got 35,000 people following him. And they believe, as he teaches, that his mother was beamed up to a spacecraft, an alien had sex with her, and he was born. And therefore, he's half E.T., half man, and he is the new incarnation of the Godhead. He is the new Jesus Christ for our age. And he gets all his followers together in these mass sex orgies where they all take off their clothes so the motherships circling the earth can catch their vibrations better. The guy's got 35,000 followers. I mean, this is a disaster in the making.
Well, and you know, people use any excuse, whether it's tornadoes or floods or anything to get laid. They'll say, you know, the second coming's soon, good gosh almighty, you know, look at Koresh. He was just looking to get laid, and he said all kinds of crazy stuff.
But promiscuity is one thing, suicide is another. The Solar Temple did it, the Heaven's Gate did it. You know, some of these groups, if their predictions don't come true, they're going to have an awful lot of disillusioned followers. Now,
yeah, but they'll be very relaxed and happy.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, these are people who are buying into this on a very deep level. They weren't relaxed and happy with their Nikes on down there in San Diego. They were serious about it. These people are dead serious.
And those guys were strange, too. You heard about the $5 bill?
The what?
The $5 bill.
Yeah,
each member of the cult had a $5 bill, almost like an Egyptian pharaoh who thought he could take all of his earthly belongings into the afterlife.
But it's no more ridiculous. And for example, the Unaria Society, which incidentally is also located in San Diego.
We love the Unaria. We've had the Unarius guy on before. He's great. Have you seen their brochure with the little glowing people?
Well, Charles Spiegel, the head of it, that's the guy he had on?
We had on a different guy, but it was the same sort of thing. You got the little glowing people, and you got telepathic communication with the people underground on Mars, and the UFO is going to land in 2001.
That's right. It's
better than anything Whitley Strieber ever wrote.
Yep, that's absolutely true. But the thing is, they're out there building a 67-acre landing strip, and they're telling their people 30 motherships are going to land. Now,
I've heard about that.
Now, what happens if they don't land?
So you're saying that the leader of some of these cults, obviously the Heaven's Gate was like this, but you think there are others who aren't just flim-flam men, who aren't just trying to get laid, but the guys who are actually suicidal and either demonically possessed or they're just so deranged that it could lead to more and more disasters?
All of the above. Look, these people who follow them are so emotionally invested in these predictions they're making that when these predictions don't come true, I fear there will be disastrous consequences. The disillusionment that will set in will be something psychologically they'll be incapable of dealing with.
So let's get back to the UFOs.
All right.
There are some people who actually get abducted. Are they being abducted then by demons, or did perhaps the devil make the aliens on other planets to come visit here? Because the devil is, you know,
Bob's saying that there are no other aliens.
Maybe
I'm
the devil made them.
Else out there. I'm saying demons down here are doing it. That's my, you know, every single, I've talked to all kinds of these abductees in researching the book, and I have yet to find one that had a positive experience. Virtually every case, they were totally terrorized. Now, come on, who is doing this terrorization? These are not benevolent beings. They say, well, we're gods, and we've come down to save you from an environmental cataclysm. Yeah, but in the process of saving people, they are absolutely scaring them to death.
So you believe that they are demons pretending to be UFO drivers in a lot of cases?
Furthermore, I believe the UFOs themselves are living organisms. I don't think they are tangible material manifestations. I think they appear to be that way. I think we're talking about the transmutation of energy and matter, and I think the devil knows how to do that. And so one minute it's not there, and the next minute there's this metallic appearing object in the sky defying the laws of thermodynamics, and then the next minute it's gone.
So if someone is about to have a close encounter, what would your advice be to them, Bob Larson?
How do you know if you're about to have a close encounter?
Well, you see the UFO, you see the door open, you see a beam of light come down about to suck you up.
You run. You run for hell.
No, it doesn't matter.
Get out of there in the name of Jesus.
Yeah. Go hide under a rock. Hey, Bob, you know I love you, but I want to challenge you on a couple of things. We're talking to Bob Larson on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, and we were talking about science and religion a minute ago, and I think that's a hot topic. I think that's something that a lot of people are talking about. In your book, on page 95, you write that these scientists, in regard to the scientists at Project SETI, these are the guys, like in the movie Contact, are pointing their radio telescopes up into outer space, looking for the Tonight Show that's coming from the planet Vega or whatever. These scientists disregard what the Bible says about the uniqueness of life on Earth and seek contact with advanced beings beyond the stars. In my opinion, they are seekers of the occult. Pretty extreme quote. Another extreme quote, and this is coming from Henry Jordan. He's a member of the South Carolina Board of Education, and he was arguing for the right of the students to post the Ten Commandments in public schools.
Sure.
Opponents told him that it might offend some of those of other religions. According to a tape recording of the meeting that was obtained by the Columbia State newspaper, Mr. Jordan then said, "Screw the Buddhists and kill the Muslims. Put that in the minutes of the meeting." Explaining his comments a few days later, Mr. Jordan went on to say, "Both of those religions aren't really religions, they're cults, if you define a cult as someone who worships someone other than Jesus Christ." Both quotes, I think, are about the same thing. They're very extreme,
they're about the exclusionary
attitude of Christianity towards the rest of the world, whether it be Buddhism, another religion that has another equally valid way of looking at God, or another way of looking at the universe that may or may not exclude Jesus. And I don't think good science excludes religion at all.
Well, now, wait a minute. You're wrong in about a half dozen accounts, and I don't have time for all
Tell
of them.
Tell them, Bob.
But, A, I've never said screw the Buddhists, and I wouldn't say that. I say save the Buddhists before they go to hell because they don't know Jesus. But let's treat them as decent human beings, and let's give them the rights of everybody else in society.
You go,
Secondly,
Bob.
The scientists do have an agenda. There is a godless, secular, humanist agenda in the scientific community. The scientific community has been Carl Saganized to the extent that they are hell-bent on proving there is no heaven. Let's face it, the money that's being spent right now on Mars to run that little rover around is there because they want to prove there's life somewhere. Why do they want to do that? To invalidate Christianity. That's what it's all about. That's one of the reasons I wrote my book, to prove that this evolutionary quest for some microbe on Mars is nothing less than an effort to display hatred for God.
Well, I don't think exploring the universe just like exploring the rest of the planet back before we had rockets, like Columbus coming to America, was any of that anti-Christian. It was certainly an exploration of the world that God has created for us to check out.
And there's nothing wrong with that, except if the agenda is to prove there are life forms. If they are wanting to know more about the vastness of this wonderful universe God made, that's one thing. But there's a definite agenda to disprove Christianity, and they're spending most of their time looking for signs of life. And I think that's a very anti-Christian agenda, because they've said point blank, if we can prove there's life on other planets, then Christianity is dead.
Not necessarily
I think Bob's right, because if you try to be a Christian in a modern university's biology department nowadays, you try to be a Christian in a modern university's geology department. See if they don't try to laugh you right out of the building.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We're talking to Bob Larson. And on the 961-8900 line, which we're all welcome to call, we have Terry Endress. Terry Endress is the member and leading advocate of the group called Tri-State Advocates for Scientific Knowledge. Hello, Terry.
Hey, how you doing?
Terry's a frequent contributor to our program, and I guess you called in because you have something to say to Mr. Bob Larson.
Well, I've had some technical difficulties on this end, and I couldn't pick up the signal on the radio. I guess I need a full report from you, Chris.
We've been sitting here talking about a number of things, including science versus religion and the alien agenda.
Right. And the agenda being, if I understand this correctly, that the aliens are actually demons of some sort.
In many cases, yes, the aliens are demons.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Larson?
Yeah, that's pretty fair representation. But don't say that I said every single aerial phenomenon is of the devil. I didn't say that. But these abductee accounts, these instances where people are taken up on spaceships and probed sexually and terrorized, I believe that in some cases, the people who just aren't looking for their 15 seconds worth of fame in the world are having legitimate experiences. I've talked to too many of them. They are very real people that had something very real happen to them, and I think it was a supernatural phenomenon.
But it seems to have physical impact on these people, correct?
Some of these people have scars, you're saying?
Well, exactly, but the devil, as Bob writes in his books, with the possession, can sometimes the victims will have claw marks and scratches across their physical body. So even though the devil operates on the spiritual plane, he can manifest himself physically and cause you physical harm to your person. Is that a fair representation, Bob?
That's a fair. I have written that, and I have witnessed that.
What do you think about that, Terry Andress?
Well, I can't say that I've had the privilege of witnessing anything quite that extraordinary. So I guess, it's one of those things where I'd have to really see something like that to believe it. However, I guess I really do have a difficult time latching on to this demonic, I don't know what you call it, intervention on human affairs as it relates to these abductions. I do know that quite a few of the folks are traumatized dramatically by the things that happen to them. But in the same way that anybody being kidnapped in any situation would be traumatized, and I don't really tie any significant spiritual impact to that.
Terry, could you tell Mr. Larson exactly what it is that Tri-State Advocates for Scientific Knowledge, abbreviated and acronymed as TASC, does for the community?
Well, we investigate claims of, for the most part, UFO sightings and close encounters. We really don't get too deeply involved with abductions because, frankly, there's a lot of mental health issues involved there, and we just don't have the expertise to cover that. But we're trying to separate the wheat from the chaff, and when we can explain a sighting, we do so with as much energy as we possibly can. But, in my experience, I've yet to come across a bona fide flying saucer, or for that matter, even a demon or anything like that. So for the most part, we're just trying to do things as objectively and reasonably as we can.
Bob Larson, your reaction?
I'm doing things just as reasonably and objectively as I can, too. Except that I believe in a spiritual dimension. Mm-hmm. And as I said earlier, there was a strong lean in that direction that J. Allen Hynek before he died, and certainly Jacques Vallée and a number of other people who are recognized to be some of the foremost spokespersons in this area of ufology, they hold to the belief that there is some type of extra-dimensional phenomenon taking place here, that all the scientific explanations for verified UFO sightings just don't make it. Something's happening that isn't normal.
Bob Larson, what is cryptozoology?
Well, that's a science that's been set up to study things like crop circles and unexplained phenomena.
In your book on page 149, you say, do any creatures like Yeti or Nessie actually exist? I believe they do. Bob Larson, why do you think that Yeti or Nessie could possibly exist and other creatures like that?
Because over an extended period of time historically, there have been too many disparate accounts of people under totally unique circumstances, and they all seem to concur there are inexplicable phenomena occurring, creatures, beings out there. Now, you know, whether these are left over from the Paleolithic age or whether there's some contemporaneous species that we have not discovered, all that is open to a possible discussion. But I think that much of what's happening with phenomena like this, again, has some type of supernatural root to it. It's like the devil's sort of out there titillating us. He just, you know, every once in a while he pops into our consciousness, whether he's, you know, he's skirting across a Himalayan mountain or he's, you know, in a Scottish lake, or whether he's...
In Missouri, and the guy, are you saying that the Missouri monster,
the Momo,
the world famous Momo, very well may be a manifestation of evil?
I don't know that, and I'm not saying that every single one of these things is. I'm saying there is, in all cultures, there is a mythology of inexplicable appearances of beings and creatures. And I think these things are designed, it's kind of this behavioral preparation thing I've been talking about. It keeps mankind sort of off balance, like who's going to go bump and grind next in the night.
So you're saying that the devil sometimes whips up the Loch Ness Monster just to keep the people in Scotland's eyes off the prize. That is, just to give them something to think about besides doing God's will.
Absolutely, and all of this is ultimately designed to turn people away from God, to get people into the realm of occult curiosity. And you will find that the majority of people, not everyone, but the majority of people who really get deep into UFO research and phenomena are occultists, or people who eventually end up in the occult. Seldom, if ever, do you... In fact, I don't know of a single case where anybody has turned to Judaism or biblical Christianity as a result of their encounters with phenomena like this.
Terry Endress, do you agree with that assessment?
Well, not really. I myself am, you know, pretty much a Christian, but I don't think my involvement in UFOs has turned me away one iota from that aspect of my life.
Are other...
I do separate the two. I mean, in my estimation, a lot of these things, as opposed to being manifestations of some sort of evil energy, to me just sort of expands my appreciation of the intricacy of this creation that we've been blessed with. So I guess maybe the angle I take is that these things fascinate me only because they add to the glory of, you know, this existence and God's creation.
That's what I was suggesting to you a little while ago, Bob, and that to take the scientific study of something, whether it be crop circles or ordinary everyday biology, is not necessarily an occult practice.
I'm not saying that it is, and I'm not suggesting someone is an occultist because they're scientifically investigating these things. What I'm saying is that the average man on the street who gets messed up in this stuff, I mean, look at the Heaven's Gate people, look at the Unarius Society, look at the Aetherius Society. These major UFO cult groups are all rooted in metaphysical occultism, not biblical Christianity, certainly not the Judeo-Christian tradition.
Hey, Bob, that brings up one of your peers, Art Bell. He's a late-night broadcaster, recently named Talk Show Host of the Year, and some people think he does a very big disservice because on his nationwide show, he's always talking about things like this.
Yeah,
like a cult.
Yeah, he feeds that paranoia.
Do you think he's like a demon creature, like the Loch Ness Monster?
No, but I think he's feeding dangerous fantasies.
He's nuts,
people.
Is what he is. He's just plain nuts.
Bob, you got to admit, from one radio guy to another, these weirdos from the Unarius Academy et al. Are great for ratings, aren't they?
Yeah, they do make very interesting ratings.
Yeah, we're all making a buck off of them, so let's cut them a little slack, maybe.
Bob, have you done any exorcisms lately?
Yes.
What was it like?
Well, hold on a minute. Terry, we're going to cut you loose before we start talking about exorcisms.
Sure.
Because that's not your particular line of work, but UFOs is. Has TASC investigated anything that would either support or disapport some of Bob's claims here tonight?
Well, that's a matter of interpretation. I mean, we'll look at the same data that clearly that Bob looks at and come up with a different conclusion. He'll draw the conclusion that perhaps in the abductions there's some kind of evil force at work, while we'll probably look at it more from a psychological viewpoint and look at the cultural impact that a lot of the fanfare over UFOs has caused and maybe has led to some sort of mental impact on our culture. So, you know, it's I guess it just depends which path you want to follow as far as the information is concerned. But as a point of clarification, some of the folks that do talk about some ultra-dimensional or interdimensional aspect of UFOs are usually referring to that in terms of quantum mechanics, which is still very physical science and not necessarily of an occult nature. So, you know, there's that also, that branch in the path as well.
We should clarify right now that I would say both of you guys would agree that the vast majority of UFO sightings can be explained by just man-made lights or man-made
experimental aircraft.
Yeah, or just solar lights, or it's Mars and the people don't recognize
it. Or people who are tripping.
Sure, quite a few people just are not very good observers. You know, you can, time after time, automobile accidents, you have a dozen people witness it, maybe eight of them know how many cars were involved. Maybe three of them could even tell you the color of the cars involved. Beyond that, the reliability of recollections in those situations is often very, very disturbingly bad. So, I think for the most part, you could probably chalk up about 80% of all sightings to something very prosaic that just has been misidentified by the witness.
All right, thanks a lot, Terry.
Sure thing.
This is Chris and Rob, Late Night Talk Show on WAIF. Our guest is Bob Larson. His newest book is UFOs and the Alien Agenda. He's also penned a terrific tome called In the Name of Satan, and he was just preparing to tell us about his latest exorcism.
Bob, is it fair to say that if somebody else wants to call in, we can do that? We won't keep you all night here, but it's not every day that people can actually call you, because when you're syndicated, you're nationwide, it's a little harder to get through.
That's true.
We'll take one or two more calls at 961-8900 if you'd like to call in.
By the way, I the gentleman's comment a moment ago about the ultra-dimensional aspect of this related to quantum mechanics and so on, I agree with what he said. That is what they are saying. But what I'm suggesting is that this effort to explain things by quantum mechanics and the physics and that sort of thing is really stretching to come up with some sort of scientific imprimatur for a spiritual phenomenon. But moving on to demons and exorcism.
Yeah, tell us about your latest exorcism. This is fascinating stuff.
Well, I've done several major ones since the beginning of this year, some of which have been broadcast on my radio show. The last one I did was a mother of four who came 3,000 miles to see me, brought here by her pastor. She was dissociative with multiple personality disorder and also was demonized.
What demons had possessed this woman?
Oh, my goodness. You're asking me a question that I'm not sure I remember entirely. She had demons of... I'm trying to remember all the names of them. They're pretty difficult. There was... I remember pretense was one of them. There was murder and death. There were some pretty hateful spirits. I'm trying to remember fear, hate. Those are the names of some of the demons that possessed her.
And how long did it take?
Well, in this particular case, we spent 4 days and 20 hours. Now,
wow. That
was in the actual exorcism. There was a lot of other time of just emotional and psychological counseling that we did. But the actual exorcism itself, 4 days, 20 hours.
Now, what goes down at an actual exorcism? I'm sure it's not like Hollywood. I'm sure nobody's throwing up pea soup or heads are spinning all the way around or anything like that. But what actually happens at these things?
Well, I've had people, we've done some videotaping of them, and people have looked at them and said, Bob, it looks like a therapy session. It just looks like clinical counseling. And it's you know, it's for the most part pretty calm. But in this last one, there were violent outbursts. I mean, here was a 95-pound woman with throwing four men all over the room. I mean, just when certain, particularly some of the sexual spirits like succubus and perversion and incubus would come out, she'd become extremely violent. But the violence was pretty short-lived. Most of it it's really a mind game. I mean, you are pitted against a supernatural evil intelligence that does not want to let go of this person.
You actually have verbal contact with demons during an exorcism, don't you?
Or talk directly with them, certainly. They articulate through the vocal cords of the person.
And what sort of things do you guys discuss?
How they got there, how they're going to stay there, why I insist that they leave.
The nuggets? Do you talk about the nuggets ever?
That's even a topic that demons don't want to discuss.
Sports?
Nuggets.
I would think demons are big gamblers. They want to talk about the point spreads and those sorts of things.
Actually, they do like to get you off tangentially in what I call demonic dialogue, but that's not very productive, and I don't think that's appropriate. I'm there to help the person and deal strictly with the spiritual issues related to their control of the person.
But isn't your just scholarly curiosity piqued at the opportunity to speak directly with one of Satan's servants?
Yeah, I mean, do you ever say, hey, man, what's the devil really like?
Yeah, no, I never have and never will, because the minute I trivialize it, I'm in serious trouble myself, because then I've taken a profound, sacred, supernatural experience, and I've degraded it into something that it isn't, and in fact, I would be in danger of them attacking me if I were ever to treat this as anything less than very seriously sacred.
Well, thank you very much, Bob. DJ wants to talk to you. Hi, hi, DJ. You're on with Chris and Rob and Bob Larson.
I don't think DJ made it.
I think we just hung up on DJ.
Hey, Bob Larson, I have a message here I'm supposed to pass along to the listening audience, which goes something like this. The Extraterrestrial Experiences Support Group is about sharing and coping in a confidential environment and led by a professional counselor. For more details, you can call 665-6737. Once again, the number, 665-6737. Bob Larson, what do you think goes down at an Extraterrestrial Experiences Support Group?
Actually, I think probably a lot of good things go on. I think these are very traumatized people who need a safe environment to discuss the most amazingly absurd circumstances, and these are pretty desperate people many times who feel like nobody would dare believe them. They live kind of a private hell, thinking they can't talk about it. So I think groups like that do serve a somewhat positive purpose of letting these people discuss their experiences.
All right, DJ wants to give it another try. Hello, DJ, you're on the air.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Well, fabulous. How you doing? Where are you calling from, DJ?
I'm calling from Norwood.
And you're on the air with Bob Larson.
Okay, Bob, how can you say that if you believe in all this devil stuff and all this satanic and how it takes over people, how can you say that we're not created by just, you know, two rocks colliding in space like a million years ago?
We're not created by what?
Like, just two rocks in space.
How old are you, DJ?
I'm 16.
Well, take some more science classes, but go ahead, Bob, answer that question.
They were created by what?
Two rocks colliding in space.
Rocks colliding in space?
I think that's his interpretation of the Big Bang Theory.
Well, it's not basically much of a bang for the buck out there, but I think, you know, the Bible addresses that in the first chapter of Romans, where it says the creation of the world is seen by the things which God has made. And I don't think you can look at a flower or a snowflake or stare into the starry night and not realize there's somebody bigger than you out there.
DJ?
But, I mean, you have all this proof that says that we were created by the Big Bang or whatever, and not so much that God put us here.
No, God did put us here. I don't think the Big Bang created us. I don't believe that sentient, intelligent human creatures simply evolved out of the ooze. I think we were made by a supernatural act of God.
We're going to cut you loose for a minute, DJ, but I'm going to attempt to interpret your question for Bob. What I think he's asking is, with all the science that you get taught in grade school, middle school, high school, and college, and so forth, you hear about not only the Big Bang Theory, you got the theory of evolution. Suppose for just a second that a lot of these theories are accurate. Now, as a scientist, you may have some problems here and there with some of the things, but supposing that these things are more or less accurate, and let's also suppose that someone is very devout in their faith as a Christian, I do not see how the two can't get along.
Because scientists are waging war on Christianity each and every day.
Well, not every scientist is. There may be a couple of them out there.
The majority of scientists are waging war with Christianity.
There are some that are atheists, but there are some that are Christian too.
There are very few.
There are very few which are Christians, and in fact, there is an assault on Christian faith. The whole theory of evolution postulates the fact that man was the result of a primordial accident, if you will. I just don't want to go through life and into eternity believing that I'm accidental. There's meaning and purpose in my knowing that I am a creature specifically made by God with a divine purpose to fulfill, and that I am loved personally as a result of that creative act.
Well, Bob Larson, do you believe that Adam and Eve looked pretty much like people in the Mideast look today, or do you think that, you know, they were short and hairier? Shorter and hairier.
I don't think they looked like Neanderthal, but who knows what they look like, and I think that's relatively irrelevant. The image of God context means that they have the moral perception and consciousness, the self-perception of an identity of knowing they were distinct from who God was, but that they had the moral capacity to choose right and wrong. That's the image of God. How tall they were, or the color of their skin, is irrelevant.
Here's a question I've always wanted to ask a Bible scholar, and I always forget to, but I remember today. How comes people way back in Bible times lived to be like 800 years old?
Because sin was relatively new yet in the universe, and its retrogressive impact on humanity had not yet fully taken effect.
So,
but in other words, the devil hadn't had enough time to figure out how to kill people and make them die sooner.
Oh, so if we could get rid of a lot of sin in the modern day world, then perhaps the life expectancy would increase.
If we got rid of sin, I think you could at least double the lifespan of every human being on the face of this earth.
Are you saying that lady in France that just died last week, she was 122 years old, she was in the Guinness Book of World Records for being the oldest woman that can be, that was for sure that old that we knew of, that maybe she didn't sin a lot?
No, I think that's an anomaly. I'm talking with a broad brushstroke in general about humanity, and what I'm saying is that the majority of people die because of sin. Indirectly, because of what a fallen world has done to the human creature.
Bob Larson, what about the great clockmaker idea of the image of God, where God put things in motion, and God certainly did create the world, but the method that he created it by it certainly was not described in the Bible as far as some of the more mundane things of it go, some of the more specific things of it go, and why could not have God put things like the Big Bang or the theory of evolution into motion?
That's the wimp way out. That's the person who kind of wants to be a Christian, so they choose to be a deist, the clockmaker idea, and so it lets them supposedly have the best of both worlds, but they've really sacrificed Christianity in the process. You can't be a deist and be a Christian. A deist is essentially an agnostic without any guts.
Let's take one more call on the 961-8900 line. Hello, Clarence. You're on the air with Chris and Rob and Bob Larson.
Hi, guys. First of all, I want you to know I'm very grateful that you've taken my call and I'm enjoying the program. I just wanted to tell you about my personal experiences with what I believe to be UFO phenomenon. I'm calling from Felicity, Ohio, and that's where I had my experience.
Okay.
Basically, it was a time lapse that I cannot place where I was and what happened for about 6 hours of time as I was driving. And I, it's the first time I've really said anything about this, but I believe I experienced some kind of abduction. And I feel that the abduction did not render itself in the classic way, such as the Whitley Strieber book would talk about, as in aliens. But I felt that it manifested itself in the form of a very evil demonic force, which is embedded in my memory to this day. I've gone under one hypnosis session. I'm a very Christian-oriented person, and I've always believed in God and Jesus as my Savior. And I do not know if this was some kind of attempt psychologically or is a real outright abduction that has occurred to sway me from the Lord. And I just appreciate your information this evening. I feel very alone about my experience and very embarrassed in a lot of ways.
Bob, should we ask him to describe it a little bit?
Sure, I'd be interested in hearing. I mean, if he's not putting us on, he's telling us the truth.
Well, Clarence, if you're not putting us on, tell us what happened.
Well, no, I'm not putting you on, and I'm sorry that you might take it that way. Basically, I was driving home late at night, and it was in the middle of summer about this time of year, 2 years ago, and I had lost time from about 2 a.m. till about 7 a.m., and ended up waking up in my car in an area that I was not familiar with. Upon trying to recall what had happened after I realized that time was missing so badly and people were wondering where I was, I underwent hypnosis, and under the hypnosis, I started remembering these images, these vivid images of a demonic figure that was in a craft, and I was being communicated with by this demonic figure. All I can say is it was dragon-like in its appearance, and shrouded in darkness and mentally telepathizing, I guess is what they call it, with me, did not speak. Obviously, this is a very disturbing experience for me, and it was talking to me about eternal doom was the theme, and that was pretty much all I could piece together. Occasionally, I'll have flashbacks of this. It could be any time. I could be at work, at my desk. I could be driving. And as you can understand, it's very frightening when these images appear in my mind that were sort of jarred by the psychologist that I saw. But the message that was inherent from this experience was eternal doom. And I don't know if that means for my soul or for the world or the universe, but it keeps replaying itself over and over in my mind, and I'm really out in the cold. I'm very embarrassed to talk about this.
Bob, is there anything we can do to put Clarence's mind at ease and so he doesn't keep remembering the dragon flying a spaceship?
Yeah, if Clarence is telling the truth and he really does want some help, I'd be happy to try and speak with him. If he would try and call my office tomorrow. And I'll try to alert somebody to put him in touch with me, and I'll try to talk to him about this at the earliest possible convenience, see if I can help him.
That would be great. Because obviously I really feel, I've only told two family members about this, and the one recommended the,
Can I give a phone? I'll just give my office number out, and he can
call
me. You
want to do that over the air, Bob?
Yeah, no, sure.
Because we can put him on hold if you want.
Yeah, my office number is no mystery. I'll be happy to give that to him if he'll just call 303-980-1511. And Clarence, we're about 2 hours earlier than you, so don't call before noon.
Okay, that's no problem.
But if you call and just tell him who you are and then leave a number somewhere where I can get in touch with you, I'll try to get back with you and talk with you and help you in any way I can.
Well, I appreciate this. This is much better than calling that national program that you guys were talking about earlier, the Jim Bell Show.
That would be the Art Bell Show.
Oh, okay, that's right.
He might be a demon himself.
You never know, but I appreciate the help and the concern and just the general information that you're putting out there for people like myself to maybe get some help for this, maybe get to the bottom of it. Like I said, I'm a very Christian person, and maybe it's an attempt by evil manifesting itself in the form of some kind of demon or dragon or whatever the image was that I saw trying to sway me from the Lord. But my faith remains strong in Jesus and God, and I will continue along that path, and I thank you.
Thanks a lot, Clarence.
Okay, good night.
Bob, we're going to wrap this bad boy up. He mentioned hypnosis. Is hypnosis a useful tool to the modern counselor or the modern pastor?
It really all depends who's using it. I think it's fraught with a lot of dangers. I'd never allow myself to be hypnotized, and I would never counsel anybody to be hypnotized. I just think it's too psychologically risky. You know, it's not even allowed in courts of law because it's just not verifiable enough. You know, there are too many things that can happen in the human mind that have nothing to do with actual regression to an event.
I heard you always want to please the person asking questions.
That's probably true. Yes, it is. And I try to do that with you guys, but it doesn't work.
Thanks for taking the time to talk to us tonight, Bob Larson. I got to tell you something, and I'm not just putting you on, that you have been a big influence on the way I handle doing a talk show, and I've been listening to you for years.
I've been watching you on TV lately, even.
When I was in college, I got this job at a factory. I needed to make some extra beer money for the weekend. So I got this job at this little factory where they had me scraping out the insides of pieces of plastic.
Oh, my.
You got these little round pieces of plastic, millions of them. No, billions of them. Billions and billions of them. And I had to scrape out the insides of every single one of them. Scrape out that little spare plastic. And when I tried to talk to the people standing next to me, this ogre would come over to me and she would say, "Don't talk to your neighbors." And then she'd slap me on the hand and say, "Keep on scraping that plastic." So I started bringing this little Walkman to work and I started listening to the Bob Larson show. This was back in the mid-80s. It might have been 84, 85, 86. I've been listening to you ever since and... I'll tell you something, you are one of the three inspirations on the reason I became a talk show host today.
Well, I appreciate that, and by the way, I still plan to have you guys on my show one of these days.
Yeah, when's that going to happen?
Well, you know, somehow that got lost in the shuffle, and the phone number got misplaced, but if you'll call my offices tomorrow and leave your number again, I'm going to follow up on that.
Can we go to a Nuggets game with you?
Let's find something better than the Nuggets. Try the Avs.
Do you like chicken wings?
Not terribly spicy.
Okay, well, we might have a good time then.
Just call, leave the number, and we'll work something out. You guys deserve to have the tables turned on you.
Okay, I hear that.
Thanks a lot, Bob Larson.
Hey, we got to plug your book again. It's called UFOs.
The name of the book is...
UFOs and the Alien Agenda.
That's right. Available at your local bookstore.
Check it out.
All right, guys.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
Bye-bye.
See ya. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We'll be back on Momente.
You're listening to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Phone lines are now open at 749-1444.